Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on. Go.
So it's Tuesday evening, just after 7 o'clock, and it's time for golf. But unfortunately, Greg Allen is on an aeroplane this evening, so it's myself, Gary Murphy, and Dunico Callahan is going to chip in with his golfing expertise. Absolutely. Keep your head down and follow through.
That's
about
done.
All he knows on golf. So, Gary, how are you?
I am not too bad, Ruby. A little bit of a head cold, but other than that, I'm grand.
Bit of a headache myself, Gary.
That's not
a head cold. Anyway, obviously the European Player of the Year was named today. Gary John Rahm won it. I wasn't that surprised, but some people are feeling a little bit aggrieved for Shane Lowry.
Yeah, maybe a little bit harsh, because Shane obviously won the Open. He won in Abu Dhabi. John Rahm won the end of season, won the Order of Merit for the race to Dubai, it's called now. But yeah, I think Shane was unlucky. You can kind of play both arguments, but I think it was the opposite in the States, that Rory didn't win a major and he won Player of the Year over Brooks Koepka, and it's, you know, the same thing has happened over in Europe, which is unusual, because I think Lowry's win in Portrush, if you'd asked John Rahm, you know, would he swap Order of Merit and his three wins or an Open Championship, there's no doubt he'd take an Open Championship.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would always be heading for quality over maybe quantity. But John Rahm's consistency throughout the year, it was pretty spectacular, all the same.
He is. I mean, he's such an exciting talent. It's only his third full season as a pro. He's won three times a year since he's turned professional. He's still only 25. You know, he's just got the world at his feet. He plays, you know, a very powerful game. But he plays with a lot of passion as well. He's quite exciting to watch. He's, you know, at times a malign character, because he gets a bit angry on the course, and in this PC world that we live in, where everyone is supposed to be covered in pseudo-cream and perfect, some people don't like him, but I like the fact that he's got a little bit of, I wouldn't say nastiness, but he, you know, he gets angry, but he gets on with it. But I think he's a hugely exciting player, and you can only see majors and big seasons in the future.
Yeah, but there's that bit of nastiness in all top sports people. You look, Rory can bark when he has to. Tiger Woods doesn't look that friendly at the best of times. That top sports people kind of have to have that bit of aggression that John Rahm has.
Oh, you do. There's no denying that. You know, over the history of golf, there's been very few, you know, Mr. Nice guys that have really gotten to the top of the game or stayed at the top of the game. You know, you look at someone like Louis Oosthuizen, who's a phenomenally talented player, and you kind of just wish he'd a little bit more of that. So, you know, you have to have that edge, that streak, that desire to kind of, to, you know, go deep into tournaments when you're, you know, you're afraid and fight through that and come out with victories. And I think unless you have that kind of killer instinct, you're not going to achieve those things. And John Rahm definitely has that.
If you're looking at the players in the States at the minute, do you think that's something that Ricky Fowler might lack?
Possibly, yeah. He is Mr. Nice Guy. Everyone, you know, just speaks good things about Ricky Fowler. And possibly, you know, he's, you know, that famous, the best player not to win a major. He's certainly in that category, because he's got all the attributes to get up to the very top of the game. But it's not for everyone, you know. There's only one person could be the best player in the world, and it has gone a little bit around in circles in recent times. But, you know, who really has everything? Tiger is probably the only of the modern generation. He's the only man that has, you know, every single facet. I think as good as he is physically, mentally, he's probably a little bit better, and you can't really say that of any other player in the last kind of 10 to 15 years, really.
Speaking of Tiger, obviously he's in the Bahamas at the minute, on the island of New Providence to be exact, for the Hero World Challenge at the Albany course, and he was talking up his chances of maybe still emulating Jack Nicklaus. Can you see that yourself?
I think it was impossible 2 years ago, 3 years ago, probably 5 years ago. His win at the Masters was incredible, but I think his win in Japan a couple of weeks ago was his first victory where it looked like Tiger Woods of old, where he was just absolutely way too good for everybody else. And that's, I think, been his most convincing victory. I know he won the FedEx, won the Tour Championship, and then he won the Masters, which was great. Got into 15, but he didn't really do anything for the whole summer. I have no idea what was going on there, but his victory in Japan put him back into that Tiger. When he's got his A game, he's untouchable. So if he can stay, you know, reasonably healthy, there's no reason why he can't. He's probably going to be competitive, I'd say, Ruby, to play in another probably 12, maybe 16 majors. So he only needs three.
And are you surprised that he picked himself to play in the President's Cup the week after next? I know he's captain and he's in the Bahamas this week, but looking ahead at his age and wanting to win those extra majors, do you think he maybe should have left himself on the bench next week?
I think Ruby is probably under pressure to play, to be honest, because he's the biggest draw. He's the biggest draw in the game. The PGA Tour own the President's Cup. It's different to the Ryder Cup. The PGA of America are more involved, so it's a huge thing to try. I wouldn't say get the President's Cup up to the Ryder Cup, because they're two different tournaments, but I'm sure he was under a little bit of pressure to play once he was in form, because it's summertime down in Australia, but it's a bit of an end of the season. You know, does anyone really care about it? The fact that Tiger is there and he's playing and he's relevant, because he's only won a couple of weeks back, it puts a totally different slant on the tournament.
And obviously 11 of that American team are playing this week, starting tomorrow actually, in the Bahamas, in the Heroes Challenge. John Rahm, who is obviously one of the European Golfer of the Year, if he was to win this week in the Bahamas, could you see him closing in on Brooks Koepka and maybe getting to the world number one at some stage?
He's in third now. There's a bit of a gap. He's 8 points, I think. Koepka's not going to play, so which won't really alter him too much. But it'll probably be, unless Rory gets off to a really hot start next season, it's probably going to be at least March, April time before anyone gets near Koepka, because he does have a bit of a lead. But John Rahm is more than capable of getting to world number one. There's no doubt about that.
And I just happened to watch it last night, but did you watch the Hero Shot Challenge that the guys were playing in yesterday, Jordan Spieth and Tiger, shooting it out in the end? It was pretty entertaining.
Well, it was, and it felt like they do that on the European Tour. They've done it, I think they've had about five or six of them on this season. And unless there's a party political broadcast on, you probably wouldn't bother watching it. But the fact that Tiger, you know, he's involved in that thing, Hero are one of the sponsors, it just... You know, his shot making is, you've seen it up close, Ruby. Like, he's just different level, and hopefully he can get in the mix this week, because it is an end of season jolly. But the fact if he's there and if he's competing at all, you know, the viewership will be huge.
He's obviously Tiger's hosting this week in the Bahamas, and Graham McDowell was announced as the host of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open for the next 2 years. What does hosting mean, Gary?
Asking a lot of favours. Trying to get guys to play, sticking their name to the tournament, becoming an ambassador, probably moving up to the next level in your career as well. I'm sure Graham will have Ryder Cup captaincy and that sort of stuff in his future, and I think it's just a nice CV piece for him. It's great the fact that he is going to do it, because he does live in the States and probably plays a little bit more on the PGA Tour than the European Tour. So it's great the fact that he's going to commit for 2 years. And try get now. I think we're going to be very lucky, injury aside, that Shane Lowry will be Open champion. He'll be there. John Rahm, defending champion, and Rory McIlroy. But it's just, I think it's nice for Graham to come back and connect a little bit more with the European Tour. I think Darren Clarke was originally supposed to do it, but the fact that Darren has gone over the 50 mark and he's trying to concentrate in the Champions Tour, that didn't suit him. So. And then it was going back north next year again. So Graham's going to do the two of them, which is great. And Des Smith is very involved as well, which probably a lot of people don't know. But the last 3 or 4 years, Des Smith has done a huge amount of work behind the scenes as well. He's actually in Dubai last week, you know, just trying to chat to players and get guys signed up for next year. So there is a huge amount of work that goes on behind the scenes that people don't see. And Des will probably do a lot of the legwork for Graham McDowell, but it's great that Graham has put his name to it.
And would you think that Graham has his eye maybe on 2026 Ryder Cup and Adair as being captain?
Possibly, yeah, because if you're going to, it's going to go Porrick, Westwood will be in Italy, maybe Poulter in the States, I'd say, possibly, and then back to Ireland. And, you know, Graham will be, he'll only be, what, about 46 or so then, so he'll still be out playing and still be involved. So, yeah, I'd say that could be, it could be part of his plan, perhaps.
On the European Tour, obviously the Alfred Dunhill was on in South Africa last week. It was won by Pablo Larrazabal, and he played the last round with a blister, which was fair going.
I'd say you're laughing, Ruby.
I am, yeah.
Looking at him hobbling around with a couple of blisters.
I'm choking
around
to myself.
40 miles an hour to broken back, jumping over fence.
Blisters are nasty, Ruby.
Oh, they're a killer, aren't they? I just thought he was so brave to get the whole way around the golf course with his blisters.
Yeah, it was. It looked a lot worse than what it sounded, to be fair. But it's, I guess, if there's a lesson for anyone listening in, it just goes to show how important your footwork is in golf, because the 2 points in his right foot where he had those blisters were his pressure points at the top of his backswing. So, and as you know, a golf swing is over in a second pretty much. So once he felt he was trying to load the club and get to a position to hit the ball, he was just feeling that bit of pain, and people laugh at it, and rightly so, but he had a 3-shot lead and he threw it away and he was 4 behind, and to be fair to him, he showed remarkable courage to, you know, obviously the front nine was just horrendous. He was playing, hitting it sideways, and then he just really sucked it up. It was fantastic coming down the last, I think it was 3 or 4 birdies the last 6 holes, to with a brilliant birdie on the last, because that final hole there is absolutely treacherous. It's a horrendous green, and it's an island green, so there's no margin for error. But it was nice to see Pablo win, because he's been a great supporter of that tournament. And, you know, when he's involved, there's always a bit of drama. Anyway, he's a good character, so I was delighted to see him win.
A bit of mind over matter. And Jonathan Caldwell, on his first tournament since he got his European card, he had a good start.
He did. He did really well, because normally the scoring can be quite low there, but he's relayed the golf course. A bit similar to what JP has done in Adair Manor. And it was a much tougher test this year. But for Jonathan, it's just a great start to season. 20 grand up on the Ord of Merv already. He didn't get into Mauritius this week, but it's a great start for him, and a nice way to sit down for Christmas with a good start in his first week.
You can pay for the turkey anyway. And looking ahead to Mauritius, Gary, what do you think might happen out there?
It's hard to know. It's not really that deep a field. I think that, you know, most people are looking at Xander Lombard to possibly do something and try to find his first win. He's a very talented player. He's hugely powerful, and does well on kind of seaside windy courses. Nicholas Coulthard is involved in that tournament for many years. Is probably part of the reason why it's down there. He's associated with the sponsors. He wanted the French Open just a few months back. It's a course that favours guys who can basically punish the par fives, and Coulthard will be quite relaxed, and he could be in for a big week. But it's a bit of a the Grand National job, really. It's pretty hard to pick a winner this week there.
I know exactly what you mean. Gary, thanks a million. Go and get yourself a lem sip there and look after your head cold. Coming up after the break. Sorry, Gary.
No, we'll see you. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks a million.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 6.